take this text and let me finish this exhortation we started for the past 3 weeks as we open Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 for the text. Can we be on our feet? God bless you. Ecclesiastes, and all of us together in a chorus, shall we go?
To everything,
there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Again.
To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven.
And the church will say, God bless you, be seated. And God also has his own season. We picked up from Matthew 24, verse 45.
Matthew, who then is a faithful and wise servant?
Listen very well, it will help you.
Whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season?
Again.
Who then is a faithful and wise servant?
So now, that aspect, the servant, all the servants of God are here now, ministers of God, that is talking to us. That scripture is talking to us. The faithful and wise servant, this is identification, this is the expectation. Read on again.
Who then is a faithful and wise servant?
Yes.
Whom his Lord had made ruler over his household,
uh-huh,
to give them meat in due season.
To give them meat in due season.
Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing.
Hallelujah. Now, when we talk about the meat in due season, meat in due season. John chapter 4, verse 28. Let's read it up to verse 34. Maybe we will catch something there.
The woman then left her water pot.
That is the woman at the well.
And went away into the city and said to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of.
Again.
I have meat to eat that ye know not of.
Again.
I have meat to eat that ye know not of.
Jesus said he has meat to eat. Listen, church. When you are listening to Jesus, he speaks and expects you to decode what he is saying.
Amen.
Everybody know meat as a malu. Cow meat. Or food. Food. But see the way he's answering them. Read it again. They are telling him, see food, and I'm going to chop food.
But he said unto them,
what did he say?
I have meat to eat that ye know not of.
You see, the food, oh glory be to God,
hallelujah,
that I have to eat, you don't know what that food is. Because all that men are laboring is what they will eat. What food they will eat. You go out in the morning, you are coming back, you are counting the money, you are counting the food. Your whole mind is what your wife has prepared for you. The whole mind is what she will prepare for her husband. So that is all we know. But see the way Jesus answered. Let's go on.
I have meat to eat that ye know not of.
I have one type of food to eat that you have known, you don't know about. Now listen.
Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat?
You see, they are thinking, still canna.
Jesus said unto them,
now listen to the meat.
My meat is to do the will of him that sent me.
Again.
My meat is to do the will of him that sent me.
Again.
My meat is to do the will of him that sent me.
And
to finish his work.
So now the meaning has changed. So it's not talking about food now. That is what is to be busy doing. You are busy looking for what to eat. His own, what is busy doing is to do the will of him that has sent him and to finish that will. And he said, Verse 45 again, Matthew 24.
Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord had made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh.
Our work is to do what? To give the people food.
Meat in meat due season.
In due season. See, there's a statement he made in John chapter 6. And let's just catch the picture. It's important. From verse 26.
Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God?
What shall we do that we might work the work of God? We'll refer to that scripture again. Yes?
Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God.
This is the work of God.
That ye believe on him whom he hath sent.
That you believe on him whom he has sent.
They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? Or what does thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me and believe not.
Hallelujah. Go on.
All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will.
These are the words from Jesus' mouth himself. So listen, Jesus is talking to you now. Go on.
For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me.
That what of, is the Father's will?
That of all which he has given me.
And when did he give them to him?
From before the foundation
from
of the
before
world.
The foundation of the world.
That go of on. All which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son.
Everyone that seeth. See, there is not with your two eyes, because we are not seeing him physically now. It's understanding him. Go ahead.
And believeth on him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Go on.
Then the Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that then that he said, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me, except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day.
Fire on.
It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that has heard.
Every man therefore that has heard hearing.
And hath learned of the Father.
It must be the Father revealing it to you.
Cometh unto me.
They are the ones that will come to him. Why?
Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life.
Oh my.
I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him.
Listen very well.
As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me.
Finally,
This is that bread which came down from heaven.
Uh-huh.
Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever.
Now, these scriptures, I allow us to read this long because it is the summary of the gospel of salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. It says,
and are built upon the foundation.
Are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Chief cornerstone. I like to always emphasize this. A lot of Christianity today, followership of the Lord Jesus Christ, supposedly, a lot of them, they are not following Jesus by revelation. It is just religion. Religion is different from revelation. Religion is identity. When you want to go and look for a job in this part of the world, they will ask you your religion. Then you will put Christianity. And the reason you put Christianity is that you were born in a Christian family. You're a Christian because you were born. Your mother and father are Christians. They are the type that give us, the preachers, the greatest problem. It is easier for me to speak to a Muslim and get him converted than to speak to a Catholic and get him converted. The reason is because, hallelujah, the Catholics are more, the most religious religion in the whole earth. They are, it is an identity. You see, it is an identity. I'm stressing this because church, the church of Jesus Christ is a spiritual house that God himself is building. And it is a type of the temple that Solomon built. It took Solomon. Everything about that temple is speaking about the church of Jesus Christ. If you understand this, then you will be more ready for God to lead you. The architect of this building is Jesus Christ himself. He is the chief cornerstone. That is, this building is not one wall. There are corners to take. Those corners to take is called season. When it is time to bend, it is a season. If you refuse to bend with him, you are on your own. That is the danger. This is what we want to tell people, and this is what the end time message is all about. And the most guilty of these people, well, that is the product of denominationalism. That's the product of denominationalism. And this is what we try to let you know, that concerning salvation, God has his season. It is an agenda that he, God, designed before the foundation of the world. Oh, glory be to God. Amen. I explained to you the meaning of John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Which beginning? It is the beginning that God himself began what he wants to do. There is always a beginning. The beginning is a reference point to something you want to do, because it will start one day. So when he says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, that beginning is different from in the beginning was the Word. There are two different beginnings. So, if you catch this revelation, Hallelujah. Listen, Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that we begin to teach you, because Apostle Paul brought up his followers to know the divine agenda. And it is our responsibility also as faithful stewards of the mystery of God, the mystery of salvation, to also let the people know that God has his season. The worst thing that you can do in your move with God is to put a full stop and say, here, I have found it. I'm not going anymore. That is the estate of the Church of Jesus Christ today. And that is why we are trying by all means. And that is the most important reason why we are having the ministers' conference. That is the major reason, is to let the people know that God has his season and we are in another season. We are now in another season, and we will go and look at it from the scripture, not from what anybody making any claim. Not anybody making any claim. I know why I'm saying this. Because in Matthew 24, from verse 26,
wherefore, if they shall say unto you,
concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, if anybody will say unto you,
behold, he is in the desert, go not forth.
Okay, now.
Behold, he is in the secret chambers.
Okay, now.
Believe it not.
Concerning the coming of the Lord, listen, again, read on, continue.
For as the lightning cometh
out
of the east,
this is how he will come.
For as the lightning cometh out of the east,
the sun rises from the east and moves. It doesn't remain there. It moves. It is the program of God that started in Jerusalem. It is moving. If you remain in Jerusalem, the light has moved. You are still there. You are finished. That was the problem with the Jews. They could not move with the light. So, shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. As the light. And then he added in verse 28.
For wheresoever the carcass is,
wheresoever the fresh meat is,
there will the eagles be gathered.
That
together.
Is where the eagles gather. Oh, glory be to God. Why eagle? Because eagle is a heavenly bird. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Why did he say it's where the eagles are? I mean, where the caca is, there the eagles will gather. The eagles eat fresh meat. They don't eat dead meat. There is the meat for yesterday, and there is the meat for today. Hallelujah. It's important you catch this, because even ministers, prophets that have passed through this church, all they have majored in is for increase of the gift and the anointing. I know nothing about what we are teaching here. How do I know? What they do when they leave here, confirm it. I know too much. 1998, when I had to leave the church, I was out of frustration. I knew too much than to go and sit down there in the denomination. Who, when the general overseer doesn't even know about water baptism. That's why I go and sit down. Sit down, do what? And we like to hide ourselves. We can eat the, how did William Brown put it? We eat the pie and throw away the seed. That is, you don't have to eat everything. If you don't, what if that seed mistakenly enter my body? Why am I eating it at all there? Get out of it. Two cannot work together except they agree. It's not pride. It's a response to revelation. It's the impact of revelation. Elder Mbadue, you left and went to a denominational church for 8 years. It's Elder Mbadue, he said, I know you are here because you dashed me something this morning. Correct?
Yes, sir.
So I'm talking to somebody here so that you know I'm talking to him. 8 years. They want to make you a church worker. You say no. Usher, you say no. Sunday school teacher, you say no. They say, why? He said, I'm only passing through here. I don't belong here. That's what revelation.
Yes, sir.
So all this grammar I am talking is to let somebody move from religion to revelation. There are many people that are connected to this church, not because of revelation, but there is a grace they have seen in this ministry. That they know there are prophets in this church. If I am in this church, I am protected. If anything bad wants to happen, God will reveal it. Therefore, now here I go die. Now true, now here you go die, true, true. Because we'll go and leave you here. And there are others. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There are others that are here because for different reasons you are here. Some sisters are here because the man that wants to marry them is worshiping here. And some men are here because the girl that is eyeing is worshiping here. So anything we they do here, the reason he came here, not in the border room. How can you come this far and hear the things we say here and it will not impact you? In Matthew 22, the parable of the marriage feast, there was a man that did not have the wedding garment and he was still calling himself bride. And the governor of the feast came for inspection. There must be inspection. And then he saw everybody dressed in wedding gown. Brethren, the dressing of the bride is a revelation. It's a revelation. It's not don't wear earring, don't wear trouser. We've gone beyond that. Because, hallelujah, you don't even need somebody to preach to a woman not to wear trouser. We don't need to preach to a man not to wear earring. We don't need to preach to a man not to beat his wife. If a woman does not know that she's a woman and she's trying to dress like a man, you know she has a psychiatric problem. That woman needs deliverance. It's only deliverance you go. Don't bother preaching anything. It's not a normal human being. When you see a woman comfortably dressing and then showing her sacred parts, and the sacred parts of a woman, every woman knows it. In the book by Chinua Achebe, Things Fall Apart, there is one character there called Okonkwo. I think he saw his daughter. He said, sit like a woman. So there is a way women sit. But the woman that dresses in short dress and sits and open her legs like this, you know it's a psychiatric problem. So we have gone beyond that. But to see a woman, we are still telling you, don't paint your mouth. Don't paint this or paint this. Don't put those stupid things on your hair. Anybody that is still doing that is going to church, you know that something is grossly wrong with you. In fact, you are mad. You are not normal. We have gone beyond that. We are trying to let you know now who you are. You know that one of the songs we sang today, you are the God that was and is to come. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen, he has an agenda. He was yesterday. Why? He did something yesterday. He's doing something now. And he will do something tomorrow. That is who he is. And that is what we mean by the divine agenda. And it is called God's season. For the past sermons, we'll be looking at this topic. You can go back to the previous ones we have taken. And let's try to round this up now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And there are intermessage preachers around the world that also listen to us. Their absolute is the quote of William Branham. Unless William Branham say it, they will not believe. You are showing them Bible. See, Bible say this. They will not believe. So when we are talking to them, we also try to look for what William Branham said. So that jam quote can jam quote. So, I read this concerning the season for our salvation. And we come to a point where William Branham had to say this. I quote it again. The message that he preached in 1965, the title is God's Only Provided Place of Worship. That's the title of the sermon. And in paragraph 90, he had this to say. Well, that's the way it is in this age that we are living in. I'm quoting. You've got to find what is God's way of doing it for this age. Because every age, he has his own way of doing it. He knows what he is doing. And what he's doing is the meat in due season. That's what Martin Luther found. That's what John Wesley found. That is justification and sanctification. So there was a period. The meat is to establish the people in the doctrine of justification and get them justified through correct water baptism, repentance, and correct water baptism. But there must be holiness. So it moved from Luther to John Wesley with the doctrine for holiness. That was the season for holiness to be restored, to be added. It's not put away, added to the revelation for justification. Then he added, that's what the Pentecostals found in their age. Maybe he didn't know who God used for Pentecostal. We know today that it is William Seymour. Praise the Lord. It was William Seymour that God used in 1906. In the Azusa Street Revival in America, that brought the third works of grace, the restoration of the gifts. Amen. And very interestingly, it was a black man. Because the Shemites had the light, the three sons of Noah, Shem, Japhet, and Ham. Ham too must have it. The Shemites are the Jews. Japhet are the Western world. These were Igbo people. And Ham, according to the Bible, is from Africa. Hallelujah. The Bible referred to Africa as the land of Ham. Praise the Lord. Egypt is the land of Ham. Praise the Lord. So that the three sons of Noah will also carry the light of the gospel. And where the sun set is where? West. It's in the west. While they thought they were taking the blacks as slaves, they were only working God's program to position the black in the west so that he will use him to show them that in Christ, there is neither black nor white. There is no race in Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The mystery of redemption is deep. So he said, that's what the Pentecostals found in their age. God's age and time to do it. And in paragraph 91 of the same message, he said, now the Pentecostals, then he came down now to confirm what I am saying. That brother, I believe, one of his eyes was out. A colored brother who really started the Pentecostal message in California. I repeat, William Branham said, Brother Branham said, It is one black man that started the Pentecostal message. It is thus said, the quote, the old Azusa Street, I am reading, he was laughed at because he was a Negro. That is how they call we slaves. Now they carry our slave. That inhuman treatment that white people meted to Africans. But Pastor Maxwell, you told us why. Why? Please come and tell the world because they are hearing you. Come. Do you remember what you told us? Why they took us slavery? It's very interesting. Very, very interesting. He told the ministers last year's ministers' conference.
When?
Please, come here so that they will see you very well. From the uttermost part of the tell them. They need to hear this. Tell them.
When the Lord visited black people, it was during slavery that they were taken to the West, and in the year 1600, God started counting time. And the Bible says, I'll visit you in the third and the fourth generation. I will remember the iniquities of your fathers. And in the year 1600, in the month of August, the first ship landed in America, loaded with blacks. God was counting time. After 300 years, from 1600, it came to 1900. Then a black person appeared by the name William Small. God was reminding us that time has come for black people to see the light of the Lord. 1906, William Small, the man had a problem with eyes. He was unable to see with the left eye, but deformation will not hinder from the Lord
using you.
You may be deformed and people may rise against you. Don't worry, the power of God is coming for his people.
Yes, sir.
William Small had issues with his marriage, but the Lord had got a program for him. And the man stood for the word of the Lord. That was the power of the Holy Ghost, manifestation of the Spirit of the Lord. And William Small, in that year, stood for the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, another 100 years, the Lord appeared, and that was the time when William Marion Branham appeared on the earth. He preached the message, but he concluded and he said, I know where I'm going. In the message, ashamed, paragraph 32, he said, there is a people who doesn't have money, there is a race who doesn't have doctors, but this, what? The same thing that the man of God is talking about will help black people. In paragraph 33, he concluded, my ministry is for black people. And today, the Lord is raising people. Brother Branham could not continue because the Lord took him. The Lord knew that black people will stand. And I believe, during the minister's conference, we are going to see how God will veil power, fire will be veiled in a black skin. We will see it through the scriptures. I don't want to go any further because time is coming for that. God bless you.
This man carry fire from Zambia. And so this is what William Branham had to say in paragraph 91. Again, he said, now the Pentecostals, he said that one of his eyes was out, a colored brother who really started the Pentecostal message in California, the old Azusa Street. He was laughed at. Listen very well. He was, because he was a Negro, He was made fun of, but he brought a message for that age. He brought a message for that age. Just a little body, a fellow could hardly sign his own name, but the Lord had revealed to him that this was the age for the restoration of those gifts. And they come. No matter what they say, it come. Hallelujah. No matter what, he brought the message for that age. And in another message that he preached in 1959, he titled it, "What is the Holy Ghost?" He said, in paragraph 75, he said, Luther walked in one light, sees him. Wesley walked in another, sees him. Wesley walked in one light, Pentecost walked in another. I don't know why he's not calling William Seymour. But we are walking on higher than that today. And if there's another generation, it will go beyond us, because there must be no full stop until the rapture takes place. Praise the Lord. God has his season. God has his season. And if you don't move with God, you are finished. So we're trying to emphasize what season of God's agenda are we now? We try to prove it in several ways. Hallelujah. And when I say this with all sense of responsibility and with all humility, that there are only two dispensations for the purpose of redemption. It is the dispensation of the law and the dispensation of grace. Dispensation of the law had a prophet, one prophet, until the dispensation was over. And that prophet was who? Oh, say something. Sure, if you are sure, say it. Don't be afraid of making mistake. We are in a classroom. Who was the prophet that brought law? And until the law was over, was there any other prophet? Every other prophet lined up and promoted only that which prophet Moses brought. No matter how accurate the prophecy of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, Zechariah, and all of them, even including Daniel, they were not dispensational prophets. There is one dispensation, and it's always one prophet. And this is what the Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 17.
For the law was given by Moses.
Law was given by who?
Moses.
By who?
Moses.
Uh-huh.
But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Came by who?
Jesus Christ.
And it is the same Moses that prophesied that God will raise up a prophet like unto him. And Peter confirmed to us that that prophet is Jesus. Who is a prophet? The word of the Lord comes by the prophet. And the word for grace came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And the Jews rejected the gospel. The gospel that was brought by who? By Jesus. And so he told to the Gentiles, it is the same Jesus continuing with this ministry among the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And after Moses, every other ministry, including Elijah, Elisha, and all the rest, all they were promoting was what Moses spoke. Nothing more. None of them brought anything new. None of them added anything to the law. All that they were doing was to bring back the people back to what Moses said. Everything they spoke, the other prophets, they were for edification. They were for edification of Israel. To warn them of danger that is coming. Isaiah prophesied that a son, unto us a son is born, a child is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. He prophesied again. Listen very well. He prophesied again that the Lord himself will give you a sign. In Isaiah 7 verse 14, he said, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child. It did not make him a dispensational prophet. Daniel was given the divine agenda for Israel. And everything about that agenda was to confirm what Moses had already spoken about the coming of the Messiah. Daniel 70 weeks in Daniel chapter 9. Everything that you see, I am saying this because I am among the parrots that were repeating what we believe some great men that knew this gospel before us. We turned away from the leadership of the Holy Ghost and we are following men so that even when they make mistake, we did not know they were making mistake because we are not studying to show ourselves approved to God. We are studying to show ourselves approved by a group of people who said this is what they believe. This is a message for the ministers. Praise the Lord. This is a message for the ministers. The test of integrity. I said this with all passion. Because I was reading through some of my sermon notes that I preached 5-7 years ago. And I was laughing at myself. You mean you preach this? I was so ashamed. I had to tell Bright TV, I said, please remove those sermons. So that people will not be misled and confused. Now, further light has been given. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, church. Nothing to boast about than to appreciate the grace of God. Therefore, I say this. It has cost me friends. It has given me names. By the people I belong to before, like Apostle Paul with the Pharisees and Sadducees. When Paul's eyes was open to see his errors, he was going back to the synagogues to tell them, this is wrong, this is wrong. This is who Jesus is. They were stoning him. Some people even covenanted themselves, except he died, they would not rest. That spirit is always following them. But church, God is unstoppable. This is why we try to stress it. That there is nowhere in the Gentile, among the gospel to the Gentiles. The only person that boasted that the necessity is laid upon him and the ministry for the dispensation for the gospel for the Gentiles in Ephesians chapter 3 was Apostle Paul. He, after the one that was given the key to the kingdom, opened the door for the gospel to go to the Gentiles, Peter, in the house of Cornelius. He went back to the Jews to continue. God reserved he who was to replace Judas and continue with the gospel. to the Gentiles, Paul. But he was not the prophet to the Gentiles. And when I say these things, I am saying it and I'm telling you, come and challenge me. Bring your Bible and challenge me. Enter message pastors. There is nowhere in the Bible that promised the Gentiles a dispensational prophet. Malachi 4, 5, and 6 is not for the Gentiles. Revelation 10, 7 is not for the Gentiles. And I show you this by the scriptures. Hey, there are even people sitting down here, they vex. Not me teach you before. Not me teach you. Why don't you want to move with me? I'm the one that taught you. There's one at Ejibo that I brought from one Agbero that I brought and through me, God got him converted. I even became an evangelist here. He left there and is there challenging, abusing me in his pulpit that I have left the message. Yes, I have left the manna for yesterday. I am in the manna for today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I wrote him, I said, can we meet? You say, I'm in error. Bring your Bible. Let's meet anyway. In fact, let's go to Brand Television live. And then you show me. He didn't reply me. You know nothing about the gospel of salvation. You know. The gospel is more than don't wear trousers, don't wear earring. Women pastor is not allowed. Water baptism in the name of Jesus. Pope is Antichrist. Denomination is of the devil. That is not the message, oh. It is not the message, oh. Deeper Life has been preaching this thing, oh. For years. They don't palm their hair. Their dress cover and only eye remain. Even when the women, they sleep, then they cover head. 24 hours. Then they cover their, if they open that scarf, you go run away. To them, that is holiness. That's not the message, oh. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The message is meat in due season. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Which season are we now? We are in the season of the latter rain. Why? James 5, 7. We have spoken that several times. Let me just round up.
Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and had long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rain.
Until he received the early and the latter rain. You know, always, when there is something in the spirit happening, musicians, those who are talented in inspirational song, they will pick it. All of a sudden, lately, among the Pentecostal move, you hear, this is the day of the latter rain. He said, God is moving in his power again. And they were referring to what happened in Azusa Street. Praise God. But they were speaking of a program, a revival that is coming. See, what is the meat in due season? Too many things to say. I'm praying to just compress it and just give you the picture. What is the meat for this season? What is the meat for this season? Now, people organize revival everywhere. You will see posters. There's a revival program. There's a revival program. There is no other revival now, no other prayer for any revival now than Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. This is the only prayer that will be answered now.
Listen. Ask ye of the Lord rain.
Again.
Ask ye of the Lord rain.
Again.
Ask ye of the Lord rain.
Uh-huh.
In the time of the latter rain.
If this is the time of the latter rain, what is supposed to be your prayer? Lord, give us the latter rain, the reviver. Now, okay, go ahead.
So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field.
Now, so, but you have to understand what the latter rain is. Go back again to that James chapter 5 verse 7. So that you will catch this latter rain. You have to understand it now.
Be patient therefore, brethren.
Yes.
Until the coming of the Lord.
Concerning the coming of the Lord. What will happen?
Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth.
Now, he's waiting for the precious fruit, those that will go in the rapture. Uh-huh.
And not long patience for it.
Until when?
Until they receive the early and the latter rain.
Now, therefore, the latter rain is the revival for home going. Now, listen. The revival for home going is not about speaking in tongues. The revival about home going is not about prophecy and casting out spirits. Deliverance. You see the impact of revelation. Apostle Paul will say he boasts and boasts in the Lord. I know the grace of God upon my life. I know the gift that God has given me. If I am to go the way others go, you will stay here till evening, you will not be tired, and I'll be entertaining you with anointing. You'll be clapping hands for me. The rain, the latter rain that is falling now is that of trimming the lamp. The light is supposed to be sharper. What does Proverbs 4:18 say?
It says, but the path of the just.
The path of the just.
Is as a shining light.
Is as a shining light that does what?
That shineth more and more unto the perfect.
Until when?
The perfect day.
See, you can never know the agenda of God through deliverance and healing gift. You can never know. I watch the television and I see that the latest ministry that people brag about is the prophetic. And what is the prophetic saying? It has nothing to do with perfecting the believer. It has nothing to do with the revelation of the word. It has nothing to do with preparing the people for going home. So, which anointing are they receiving now? The latter rain, listen very well. It is what God is doing now. And he's working among two groups of people in the church. The anointing, listen very well, that perfects the saints, which we believe it is he that calls them his bride. Listen, it is not you saying you are bride that you become bride. It is him. For the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord